You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here are your hosts, Matt Peck and Big Dave Watson.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls _ Peck. You can follow my co-host Big Dave at Bow, B-A-W-L Sports. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text voicemail line is always there for you, Bulls Nation, at 331-979-1369. Well, today is the day. First of probably a couple of mailbag episodes that we promised you guys. You guys have been blowing up our inbox since free agency started, and we greatly appreciate that. We love hearing from y'all. So we're going to get to as many text messages and tweets in this episode as we can, and then following this one, we'll have an episode that is all of your voicemails, or as many as we can get to, because there are a lot of them. First and foremost, Big day, before we jump into mailbag, how are you, A, and B, can we give you some credit for this Zach LaVine 4-game win streak stat that is flying around NBA Twitter right now?
I'm doing great. I'm wonderful. I'm beautiful. Kind. I had some vegan chips, which you properly scoffed at. So yeah, I'm doing great. Cool. It's weird calling it my stat. You know, it's just something I found, but I've been talking about for years. So it's cool that people are like, hey, Big Dave said that. And I'm like, hey, yeah, I did. Thanks. And Ricky O'Donnell. I think that was the coolest part, Matt, when I was doing the show with Second City Sports. Shout out to Lakina. Shout out to Sydney. I was doing that, and I was on with Ricky. And I told Ricky that stat, and you just saw his face like, what? He was like, dude, that's for real? And he said, oh, my God. And I said, yeah, Ricky. He was like, dude, I'm going to have to steal that. Like, that's really crazy. I'm like, have at it, man. And then, you know, but yeah, he gave me props too about it and everything like that. But yeah, man, it's crazy stat. I'm glad that he finally experienced that. Now we just have to, you know, transition it over to the NBA and have him experience that properly. But this is, again, what we talked about, Matt, the importance of him going over there and what this stuff, you know, is going to mean to him. And he looked great too yesterday. He looked great in that game.
Right. And before we transfer that over to the NBA, we need to go ahead and get Zach his 5th straight victory. So the USA can bring home the gold. The US come back from a 15-point first half deficit against Australia late last night and then rally, go on a huge run and end up blowing the doors off. Thanks large part to Kevin Durant, who just did not miss, dragged the USA back. But Zach LaVine, some big buckets, some big steals when the USA was really just blowing the doors off Australia in the second half. So that was great to see. Yeah, hopefully USA can bring home the gold. Zach comes home a gold medal winner and bringing that positive energy, that winning attitude to this new, very new looking Bulls roster we've got. Yeah. So let's kick things off. The first thing I want to talk about is a tweet question from one of our super fans, Stu, who is one of our diehard Aussie fans. Condolences to all of the Bulls fans / Aussie fans, because I know there are a lot of you out there. I know a lot of you listen to this podcast. One of you gave me shit for a Matthew Dellavedova hate tweet that I had while watching the game last night.
Only one?
Just the one Delly hate
tweet. You got off light.
but Stu's a super fan of Locked Up Bulls. So here's what he's wondering. And I've been thinking about this too, Big Dave. He said, hey guys, can you please give it to these national NBA idiots who are saying everything the Bulls have done is a sign that they aren't paying Zach and are moving on from him? Never heard such BS. Also, DeRozan has been a small forward, power forward the last few years. So no, he and Zach are not the same position. So not more evidence that we're getting rid of Zach. These dipshits make me see a different kind of red. Love your work, Stu. So this is just one example that Stu brings to light of the national NBA pundits that I've seen. I think Kevin Pelton for ESPN gave the Bulls like a D- on the DeRozan grade on the DeRozan trade. A lot of people saying they don't understand this. It's not going to work. DeRozan was an overpay. And as Stu brings up, also saying, oh, the fit's not good with Zach. Zach and DeRozan play the same position. Look, I don't think it's a secret that national NBA media has not really paid attention to the Bulls for the last few years because we've been unwatchable.
Correct.
So it's not surprising to me that at least a handful of NBA pundits are looking at these Bulls moves and saying, I don't get it. What are they doing? I don't like it. But you know what? It is so easy to just brush that off your shoulder. If you have been paying attention to this team for years and you know the difference between doing stuff in free agency and not doing stuff in free agency, you can nitpick the fit. But even the stuff that is being nitpicked right now doesn't seem to even be like accurate nitpicking. What do you think about that, Dave?
That's true. I'm okay with you nitpicking and, you know, being critical or being skeptical about the Bulls' moves. A few days ago, I was watching people ridiculously attack Tony Gill because he was skeptical of the move of getting DeRozan. But it was strictly like from a basketball perspective. He was like, he's a ball dominant guy. And, you know, we're trying to see what, how he would fit into this because it seems like Billy Donovan kind of runs a space, you know, kind of offense that is predicated on guys with 3-point shooting. That's a logical, that's a logical thought. That's a logical idea. And people were attacking him for it. Like, oh, you don't know anything. You don't like sports. And I'm like, dude, that's Tony Gill. Like, what are you talking about? You know, like, y'all are insane. That is a logical thought. You know what I'm saying? That is logical skepticism. That makes sense to have that kind of skepticism about it. But this kind of nitpicking, you know, when you're like, oh, well, where's the rookie Lauri Markkanen going to be? You know, like, well, yeah, no, he's not a rookie. He's not on the team. Well, what about, you know, Wendell Carter Jr.? Is he going to be at center? Yeah, he's not on the team anymore. You can't really say those kind of things and stuff. He's not here. You're not watching the Chicago Bulls. And I understand why, because usually, and for the past few years, we've been the laughingstock. I remember being on national TV. I remember the Bulls being on national TV on all the talking head shows when Zach LaVine waved off Fred Hoiberg and shot a three. Like, I remember that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I remember Zach LaVine on the bench when the ball-headed menace called timeout, and he was just like, why? You know, all that stuff is what they're used to seeing. They're not used to these competent basketball moves. They're not used to the Bulls pulling off something that is smart, especially monetarily, and something that fits your basketball team. You probably didn't even know they had Billy Donovan for a while. You know, like, it's a lot of things like that, Matt. So I get it, but sometimes you just got to, you know, do your homework a little bit. Because I promise you, if this was the Lakers, if this was the Heat, if this was the Knicks, this would be being praised. I promise you. They would say, wow, these are good moves right here. They went out. You know, they got some stars. They got some All-NBA guys. You know, they got some great pieces they're putting together. I saw them talking about the Knicks. They were like, well, Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier together, you know, I mean, that's not bad. What? That was it. They were in Boston last year. They did the same thing. What are you talking about? They got 18 point guards. Like, what are we saying? Like, Russell Westbrook, you know, these guys are like the Temptations getting back together again in the 80s. You know, like, these guys are older, you know, but nobody is poo-pooing those moves. When it comes to the Bulls, it's all they know. So they poo-poo, and a D-minus is just ridiculous. I did not know that. Getting a D-minus for this is ridiculous. Getting 3 All-Stars on your team, including a rookie that is showing real promise, including a point guard that everybody has liked, and it's like, yeah, he's a great facilitator. He's a good move and a good piece, including getting Caruso, who everybody around the league likes. What? What are you talking about? No, that's not smart. I'm going to need you to do more research on the Chicago Bulls, and you won't have no choice, like Matt said. Like, you're not going to have a choice. Because we're going to be in your face winning. Like, it's just what it is now. We're here.
These additions of Lonzo and DeMar, along with All-Stars Vooch and LaVine, and the Bulls being the team that they are, NBA national TV is going to be all up in the Bulls' nuts next season. And I am excited. Because, I mean, the 2 seasons that you, me, and John did Outsiders, the Bulls had, what, collectively 5 nationally televised games? Nobody wanted to watch that crap. So, like, people, when they saw, you know, Zach LaVine in a, you know, in a stretch of, you know, dominant games, even like on NBA TV or whatever, or seeing what Zach's doing in the Olympics now, you got all these NBA national people being like, wow, Zach LaVine's pretty good. And we're all sitting here being like, yeah, yeah, You just haven't yeah. watched him because the Bulls yeah. aren't on TV.
So yeah, yeah,
that's going to change. And you know, the other fun little cherry on top of that Sunday, TNT Bulls. The streak has been dormant, and it's coming back. Oh, I'm going to be on pins and needles for the first Bulls game on TNT. Home Bulls TNT. What is that streak? Like 20-some wins in a row or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. It's a streak, it's
coming,
man.
Coming back.
It's coming baby. Back. It's coming back. You have back. No choice. We be in your face in a nationally known and locally represented and loved. The Chicago Bulls are back in your face, and you can't do it. Nothing about it.
Speaking of coming back, Built Bar is coming back at you with yet another special limited edition flavor on their website, built.com. Y'all like Rocky Road ice cream? Well, now you get a Rocky Road flavored Built Bar. That's Shut right. The newest Built Bar flavor is Rocky Road, available now at built.com. And did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors that there's something out there for everyone? If you like some fruit with your protein bars, they've got flavors like cherry barcia, raspberry, orange, strawberry. And if you just really like the chocolate and the different chocolate flavors, they've got double chocolate, mint chocolate, German chocolate, salted caramel, cookies and cream. There's something for everybody. And not only are these Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy for you too. Mm-hmm. All of these Built Bars have either 17 or 18 grams of protein, but only 130 to 180 calories. Just 4 or 5 grams of sugar and 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. It's also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team at the Tokyo Olympics. So if it's a good enough protein bar for Olympians, actual Olympians, it's probably good enough for you and your workout routine and maybe, you know, breakfast or lunch throughout your week as well. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Big Dave, this next text from our inbox is from the 269, who says, can we all just take a second to be happy about how improved our front office is? Lonzo and DeMar chose us over teams like the Clippers and other contenders. Clearly, the stink of Garpax is washing away. We never would have been in consideration for these guys 2 years ago. On another note, where do you think the Bulls fit into the Eastern Conference standings? I think Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Philly are highly likely to finish above us, but I could see the Bulls being better than Boston, New York, Atlanta, maybe even Miami. What do you think? Thanks for checking in. That's from the 269. Okay, so let's take the first piece of this first, Big J.
Sure, sure.
They're absolutely right. You know, whether you talk about, is it an overpay for Lonzo? Is it an overpay for DeMar? And I think in each case, you can make the argument that, yeah, it's a bit of an overpay.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. It's not our money, right? If they are willing to operate as an above the cap team, and then maybe a year from now, when we sign Zach LaVine to a max deal, operate in the luxury tax, not our money, as Jerry signing those checks. And the only thing that matters is they're getting talented guys to come here because they want to come here. Mm. It is so, so different. And the most recent example of that I found this morning, or maybe late last night, Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, who was the one who broke the DeMar news initially on his podcast, said that the Clippers brass, the Clippers front office, was in the car driving to a meeting with DeMar DeRozan when DeRozan's agent called them and said, you know what, guys, we don't want to waste your time. Don't bother. He's going to sign with Chicago. And I heard that and I thought, my God, how refreshing is that to be on the winning side of that situation? Yeah. It's not Bulls fans having to hear things like Kobe Bryant 2007 saying, we were looking at houses in Chicago. It's not Bulls fans having to hear Wade and James saying in 2010, yeah, we were pretty sure we were going to Chicago. It's not Bulls fans having to hear Carmelo was about to sign on the dotted line and then... No, we have dealt with those kind of stories for a decade. And finally, we're on the winning side of one of those stories because new front office.
That is just so beautifully well said and put and absolutely accurate and factual and correct. All of that. I hope y'all took all of that in because that is the truth right there. When you think about it, the Bulls have always been the bridesmaids. Always been the bridesmaids. We always got the second best. We always got the leftovers. You know what I mean? You know, that's how it was for us. You know, even in when we didn't get LeBron, you know, we walked away with Carlos Boozer. We're like, yeah. You know, even when we didn't make that other big free agent plans with Melo, we walked away with Paul Gasol, who had a great career here. He did. He was all NBA. He was awesome here. But still, he was not Carmelo Anthony, which was the point. But now, these were the guys that people were talking about. These were the guys that were on everybody's lips. Like, you know what? They would fit here, 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 here. No, these are number one guys. These guys would be nice. You know, these guys would be great. Day one, first minute off the board, gone. And then we didn't even know about DeRozan. Like, I don't know if you did or not. I just started hearing whispers about it, you know, after the signing and everything. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that would be cool to do. And then when I started picking up steam, I immediately was like, I think he's coming here. And the reason I felt like that was because, like Matt said, the front office. That's how I felt like that, because everything I had seen them say they were going to do, they did it. Every single thing. So why would this be any different? In the past, if that had came up, I will be waiting for the mistake. I will be waiting for the other shoe to drop.
How is this going to blow up in our faces?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Because I know it's gonna.
Right. Oh, we didn't want to give up a second round pick. You know, oh, we didn't get Dwayne Wade in the draft because we didn't want to give up Danielle Marshall. You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that. I was waiting for those shoes to drop because those are the shoes that have been stepping on us for years. So I was waiting to get stepped on. Nope. Logic, you know what I'm saying? Actual, factual, you know what I'm saying? Competence all in your face, and the aggressiveness of how they went after him. I don't even know. Like, they had to convince DeMar DeRozan to come here. They had to convince him. Which is awesome, because you already know AK and Eversley are good at that, because they did the same thing with Billy Donovan. So they sat there and they convinced an all-NBA, all-star, who still is going to get you buckets, 20 points a game. It's what he does. They had to convince him and just speak to him and talk to him, to the point the Clippers on their way to see him. And they said, you know what? We good. How about you just hit that U-turn? Bro, we ain't going to even waste your time. When have you heard that in relation of a positive thing to us? Never. We're not you. This is new territory. If we're sounding like we're excited, and we've never been here before, it's because we haven't. We don't know how to act. We don't know how to act with this. This is new. Free agents choosing us over other teams. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about not the second tier, the free agents people want, and we're talking about choosing us. That's a big deal, guys. That is a huge deal, and this is why we're excited about it. So, yeah. Yeah, absolutely right. Everything Matt said, dead on and right on point, and that's why we're so happy.
As far as the texter's second question about, you know, where the Bulls stack up in the East, let's wait until we see what the whole roster looks like. You know, I think I saw somebody ask you the same question on Twitter the other day, Dave, and it's like, okay, we feel pretty good about our starting five, and we clearly are going to take that leap. You know, we can talk on a show next week about what those expectations are, especially as we round out this roster to see what the bench is going to look like. But I think it's no doubt that you can make the argument that the Bulls, on paper, added more talent than a lot of teams in the East this offseason. So, yes, we can talk about raised expectations. As far as where are they going to finish, 1 through 8, hopefully somewhere 1 through 8. Is it going to be 4? Is it going to be 6? Let's see what the roster looks like, and then we can speculate wildly.
and we will.
Right. So, okay, moving on. We did talk a little bit on our last show about, like, okay, what's going on with Lowry Markkanen? As we sit here midday Thursday, we still don't know. You know, still no firm word. Didn't get put into the Spurs sign and trade because we heard that he was looking for way more money than they were willing to pay him. He's still here, could come back in a qualifying offer. So with that context, the 404 says, is it our fault Lowry has such unrealistic expectations for his contract? He was so hyped after that first year. I can't blame him for being delusional. I myself am delusional. Yeah, you're not the only one. Me and Dave also delusional about Lowry Markkanen. And there's another texter here about Lowry. The 217 says, hey guys, my question is, why are people so against bringing Lowry back? I understand getting rid of him to get DeRozan, but we didn't. Now he's the best player with the most upside we could get in free agency at this point. Just makes no sense to me why everyone seems to want him to leave for nothing. So there's two texts about Lowry and what's going on right now. Big Dave, let's start with this. Would you be okay with seeing Lowry come back on the qualifying offer?
My heart is saying yes because I love him, but my mind says no.
What does your body say?
My whole body says no.
My body
is telling me no. It's saying no. You shouldn't do this. A few reasons. One, they tried to trade him during the trade deadline. He was already bags packed up out of here going, we were getting Lonzo Ball, and that's just, and we were going to make a run to the playoffs, and oh my God, that didn't happen. And so to change and monetize that, we probably went and got Daniel Tice, a career guy who's on the bench a lot, and started him, which was the right move, and started him over Lowry Markkanen and put him back on the bench, which Lowry doesn't want to be. Lowry wants to be a starter. That's into my second point. Lowry doesn't want to be on the bench. Lowry was like, I am a starter in the NBA, which is why he was asking for the money he was asking for, because he's like, I should be starting in this league. If you just look at Lowry's stats, you can say that. But if you watch Lowry every game like we did, we don't agree with that. But he feels that's what it should be for him, and that's fine. He won't find it here because, again, this starting five is set. It's locked in, like locked in, like you're locked on Bulls with me and Matt. It's in there. You can't do nothing about it. It's what it is. So he's competing to be the sixth man and seventh and on down from that. To take the qualifying offer and take that much money just for that 1 year to come be the sixth man, knowing that you're going to be out of here regardless, you know, next year. Because it's not going to change his mind. At least I don't think, Matt. I don't think it's going to change his mind where he's going to be like, okay, I had a year, you know, off the bench. Thanks. I think I'm going to sign a contract to continue to stay here in my early 20s to go ahead and turn myself into a bench player. Right. No, that is not going to be the case. That is not what is going to happen. He wants to start. He should get another opportunity to prove that he's a starter in this league. He has the talent and the size. It's always been mental for him. So maybe just a change of scenery will help that. I'm definitely rooting for him. But those aspirations here are long gone. So I don't think that it's a good move for him to take that offer and stay here. I wouldn't do it. No.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there about Lowry. Do you want him to stay or not? And I think you and I have discussed, you know, on Outsiders when we were doing Outcast this past season, a lot about Lowry and why it was that, especially this past season, when we were hoping new coach, Billy Donovan, let's put that ugly past behind you where you know who just turned Lowry into a spot up, you know, roaming the perimeter shooter and nothing else in that 1920 season that wrecked him. And yes, he's also dealt with some, you know, long injury gaps in pretty much every season of his NBA career so far. And there's this excuse and that excuse. But I think there's also that mental aspect that you talked about, which is Lowry has never seemed to be a kind of player who just says, give me the ball, damn it. I'm a 7-footer who can put the ball on the floor and shoot and give me the ball. I'm getting buckets. He's never really, we've seen the tiniest little glimpses of that, which is why our texter and you and me, the Lowry believers, were in maybe some ways delusional to think what he could become because we saw that one little sparkle in the creek, and we were like, that's a tiny piece of gold, and this creek is filled with gold, right? But no, it turned out it was just like a little shiny piece of a wrapper that somebody had left at the bottom of the creek. and that's upsetting. It's taken me a while to get over that. I'm still not all the way over that.
Yeah.
But the thing about Lowry's frame of mind, coming into this offseason thinking, I'm going to get 20 mil and I'm going to get a starting job. Maybe it's not in Chicago, but I'm getting that somewhere. It's delusional himself to think that. And you saw how quickly the dominoes fell and Lowry and Dennis Schroeder are just standing out in the cold, right? That's where we are.
Yeah,
I don't know if it would be good for Lowry or for the Bulls to have like a grumpy Gus sitting on the bench while you're trying to build this winning mentality. Zach's bringing this positive energy from his USA, you know, Olympic experience. You got Damar, another, you know, a veteran to come in and help Zach lead. You got Lonzo with the fresh start. You got all these pieces and you're excited about all of it. And then you got a Pouty Lowry coming off the bench. I don't want to risk that affecting this Bulls locker room this season. Because if we're talking about a 15-win jump, maybe even a 20-win jump, that is not easy to do, and you can't do it with a locker room that's not all on the same frame of mind. You can't. Everybody's got to be buying into the same thing. And I'm worried about a Pouty Lowry marketing messing with that.
That's a great thing to be concerned about, because you saw what it – you saw how Lowry operates. And we can go back to even before Billy Donovan was here. I remember when he wasn't performing up to his best, and then his coach flew over here from overseas, and he just went off. Like, he had games where he was just balling out of control. And then as soon as he left, he went right back to, you know, who that was, like, that we've been seeing all those years, all those few seasons prior to that point. So, yeah, it's a lot of mental stuff going on with Lowry, and I don't think it's good to give somebody to mess with somebody's mental headspace when they have aspirations of something bigger, to keep them here in a position where you know they can't thrive like they probably would like to. They can't grow into that starting position because it's not going to be available for you. Like, we're on to Patrick Williams, you know? Like, that's the guy we're trying to, you know, grow and, you know, and things like that. And Kobe White, you know, and those kind of guys. Those are guys that they've made their decision on, who they're like, we're going to grow these guys. They've made a decision on Lowry last year. They made that decision on him. So I don't think that's going to change anything. And yeah, man, it's a tough situation for him, because he kind of played himself, and he should talk to his agent at the same time, because I'm sure he told him, bro, we about to get you broke off. We about to get you paid. And it's not, and it just has not turned out that way, man. And he might end up somewhere he doesn't really want to be, you know, where he's not comfortable. Because that's usually what happens when guys have to take the money or want the money. They end up in a bad situation as far as team-wise is concerned. So it happens all the time. So, man, dude, I want better for him, because I really want to see him get that fresh start like I saw Daniel Gafford get. And I just want to see him get that fresh start and see for sure if we're just, you know, looking at, you know, like you said, looking at that rapper in the lake, if it really was that rapper in the lake that we were looking at, or if it was just we were looking in the wrong pond.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see if we get an answer on Lowry and his future sometime in the coming days, because pretty much all of, you know, markets dried up. Most everybody signed at this point. The Bulls do still have to fill out the back end of their roster, the back, you know, four or five of their roster. Him on a qualifying, I think, is still a possibility. I think it's becoming more of a possibility by the hour, by the day, that he does not sign somewhere else. But my guess is that Arturas and Eversley are still hard at work trying to figure out some kind of sign and trade to send Lowry somewhere and get something back that can help this team next season. My guess is that they are on the phone lines right now trying to accomplish exactly that. Thanks to our texters for checking in with Lowry. Moving on, the 708 asks, this is what got me, Dave. Okay. I'm excited, but if this doesn't work, we are the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Brooklyn Nets.
What?
No.
No, okay. Bro, that's not correct on so many levels.
No. Okay. Well, so what? Okay, I am baffled by this comparison. Look, did we give up two first-round picks to get Vooch? Yeah. Did we give up another future first to get DeRozan? Yeah. Are Vooch and DeRozan both players who are in their prime and on the wrong side of 30? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the dried up bones of Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett when that trade was made? No. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that Brooklyn shelled out a hell of a lot more capital than only three picks to make all of that happen. I think they shelled out roughly 3,000 picks to make that happen.
Yes, they did. They did. They shelled out a lot. Yeah.
Some of these other moves, like Caruso, role player in his prime. Mm. Lonzo Ball in his early, he's in his early 20s still.
23.
Like, there's a lot of the, and look, this texter is not the only person who I've heard make this comparison. Which, oh, man. hey, you got some new flashy names to come play in Brooklyn in this, you know, market that's trying to do something and reinvent itself. But if it doesn't work, then no. Okay, come on. That was aging guys who couldn't. I lived in New York for that Bulls Nets first round series. Me and my brother were at Barclays every night.
And oh wow. Okay.
That Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Brooklyn team that also, you know, had Joe Johnson, they shelled out a bunch of capital for Gerald Wallace. Like that team.
Yes.
They couldn't beat a Derrick Rose-less team led by a Joakim Noah who was playing on 1 foot.
How can you argue with any of that? You know, man, it's just ridiculous because I don't believe any of them were averaging 20 points a game or doing anything like they look like. I mean, you at least got to see Vooch still drop you 20 and 10 just by being there. You know, right. DeRozan, that's what he does, and that's what he's going to do. Like these guys, DeRozan's still dunking on people. He had 52 last season. Like, what are we talking about? I was talking to a friend of mine who had this kind of point of view, and this on Tuesday, I think we were having this discussion. He was like, well, you know, we gave up the draft picks, you know, to get this dude Vooch. You know, we gave up draft picks to get him. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what. How about you tell me who did Orlando get in the draft with that Bulls draft pick? And he said, hold on. I don't know. I got to look it up. I said, no, don't look it up because that's the answer. You don't know. It don't matter. And then when he looked it up, he was like, Franz Wagner. I'm like, yeah, Franz Wagner. So we gave up Franz Wagner, Wendell Carter Jr., and Lionel Richie for Vooch. That's what you and Richie ain't even there no more. What are we talking about? What are you wanted Franz Wagner that bad? Is that what you're telling me? You wanted some Franz Wagner love? That's what you're saying? Like, dude, what are you talking about? No, they make these smart, calculated moves. And he said, the funny part of that, he said, yeah, well, you know, I ain't know who Cade Cunningham was. I said, that's the difference. You would have known who he was because the pick was top four protected. So if we got the number one pick, we would have had Cade Cunningham.
Right.
That's the point. That's the point, dude. No, incredible, brilliant move is what they made. This is nothing like Brooklyn's move. This is absolutely nothing like it. You know, washed up when you see it.
Hey, speaking of which, you know what Bulls executive like basketball ops decisions in recent past makes a hell of a lot more accurate comparison to the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Brooklyn Nets?
Why y'all do this, man?
Because it's Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo.
I told you it was coming. You knew it was coming.
A couple of washed up signings who couldn't get out of the first round. That's the comparison.
They're not the reason. Well, you're right. You're right, though, because Rondo getting hurt, they would have got out the first round. You're right, Matt. Yeah. Yeah, Matt. No, you want to go there. You want to bring this up. You're right. Would have got out that first round. 2-0, baby. 2-0 till Rondo went down. Thanks a lot, Jimmy Butler. I'm still mad about that. Shout out to you, though. You've had a great career. But I'm still upset about that. We could have had it. We had it. It was there. But it wasn't meant to be, and it wasn't supposed to happen that way. Fine. I'm okay with it now. It's over. It's done. I got DeRozan. I got Vooch. I got Zach. Whatever. Great. But no, it's nothing like this. I don't know why you would think that. It's nothing like this. Like, Garnett was done. Like, he was finished. We all knew it. He was finished. Paul Pierce was done and was finished. We all knew it. You know, Joe Johnson, we know who Joe Johnson is. You know what I mean? He scores buckets. That's just what he does. He puts – and Gerald Wallace, like, okay. Like, like, come on now. No, this team is nothing of that kind of sort. A great coaching staff that is developing players. Like you said, man, great point in developing younger players. I can't wait to see Lonzo Ball with Mo Cheeks. I can't wait to see this. Like, it's just going to be so great to watch him work with a real, straight-up great coach and a great point guard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't wait to see it. It's going to be so awesome. And a player's coach on top of that. And so they've done a great job of combining the older veterans with the younger players. This is a great thing that they've done, man. So, man, come on. Stop. Get behind this, baby. Come ride with us, man. Come ride. This is great times. I'm so excited.
They are. They are just really positive, positive times. Yeah. Speaking of which, the 404 texts us and says, I finally understand the brilliance of your criticisms. I used to wonder why you were so harsh at times. I understand now. Thanks, fellas. So excited. Look, you know, There are different generations of Bulls fans, right? We understand that. There are old timers who watched the ugly, you know, 70s, early 80s Bulls that fell apart. Right. You know, we saw one Western Conference Finals appearance and they lose to Golden State. We see the people who grew up with Jordan, the people like you, Dave, who are, you know, a handful of years older than me, who their childhood was the entirety of MJ's career. The whole three-peat and prior, both three-peats and prior, you have people my age who caught the tail end of the dynasty. And then you have Bulls fans who, like, all they know of this franchise and winning or coming close to winning is like kids who grew up watching Derrick Rose and like saw one conference finals appearance. So wherever you are on that timeline of how old you are compared to how old this franchise is, those of us who were pounding and yelling and blowing a gasket in the back end of the Garpax regime, we weren't doing so to be alarmist. We weren't doing so to overreact. We weren't doing so to get a rise out of people. It was genuinely upsetting to us to see a franchise that was at one point in time the pinnacle of NBA basketball fall so far to be the only time we're mentioned on the national NBA scale. And it kind of goes back to that earlier conversation is when we're being laughed at. A front office that sits with their thumbs up their butts and is only concerned about cash considerations. And we're going to sign Wade to put butts in seats and sell jerseys. We're going to sign Jabari to put butts in seats and sell jerseys. We don't give a damn about winning basketball. It was truly upsetting. And like it was, none of it was for show. And I know that I'm certainly someone who was more of the harsh criticism than you were, because you just have more joy in your life than I do. You're more of a believer than I am.
No, I was very critical, but no, man, you're harsh is a nice word. You were anger. It was anger swirling about when my man Matt Peck used to come on, man. Like my man, I wish I could remember the nickname my brother calls you. But it has to do with anger.
I'm glad you can't remember right now.
It's hilarious and it's accurate, but it has to do with anger. It has to do with you just being angry all the time. Like I think it's stay mad. It's either stay mad or stay angry. I can't remember. It's one of those. But that's what they will know you for. Like, man, your boy Matt, boy, he be ready. He be angry, and they love you. Everybody I know who I talk to be like, man, your boy Matt be gone. He's like, I love that dude. Like, he always is upset. So, yeah, keep being Matt. Like, it's awesome. But you're right. Like, I was incredibly critical of this team, man. Like, because when they start blurring the lines of, you know, hope and logic, and there's a line, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's hope and, you know, there's rainbows and Care Bears on one side, you know what I'm saying? And then there's reality over here. And I'm right here in the middle of it, you know what I'm saying? And when you're moving me over to the side of, you know, when I'm ready to run that Care Bear off the road, you know, with my car, because I'm tired of all these lies that you're putting out here, it drives you crazy, man. Like, you just know, because it messes with your basketball senses and your basketball logic, because you know better. You know what you're watching. You know what you can't fathom, you know, the foolishness that's going on behind those closed doors, and that have nothing to do with basketball. But it was just so many ridiculous moves and so many people that were keeping on. Remember Pete? I was like, why is Pete Meyer still here? Why is Randy Brown your assistant coach? Why? Like, what did they do? Like, I don't understand. And then you just know they got jobs because they got jobs. Like, and it's cool, you know, have a job, but I'm trying to win. Like, can we win? Is that okay? No, it's not okay. It's not okay. You can't be that way. So, yeah, man, the criticism was well earned. And, you know, I give love where love's supposed to be. And I tear you down when you're supposed to be torn down, man. But that's just what it is, guys. And thank you for saying that, though, because we weren't just yelling to be yelling. Nobody's just yelling to be mad and wanting this team to be mad. You see when they've done good things, you see how me and Matt acting right now. Like, when they're doing good things, we're excited. We're joyful. We're happy. So, yeah, like,
right.
It's what it is, man. They hurt our feelings.
Like our buddy Mark K, Mark Aranzolas of Bulls HQ.
Oh, shout out. Shout out.
Who we enjoy interacting with on Twitter every day. Check out his podcast, Bulls HQ. Another fighter alongside me in the let's tell everyone how ridiculous C-Red Fred is daily battle that we're fighting. He had a great tweet replying to someone who was, you know, like, coming at him on Twitter, be like, oh, like now you're all sunshine and rainbows, Mark. Like, what happened to, like, oh, the Bulls suck and everything they do sucks? And he was like, no, listen, this is how it goes. The Bulls do dumb shit, I get mad. The Bulls do good shit, I'm happy. Over the last 48 hours, the Bulls have done some seriously good shit. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that's why I've always, you know, argued I am not a pessimist, I am a realist. And in the realist world that we have been living in, the Bulls mostly have done dumb shit that makes me mad. But look how happy we are now.
Look at the joy.
How happy.
Look at it. And it doesn't look good on them. Looks good on them, guys. Look good on them.
All right, let's get out of here with one last text. This one comes to us from Christian in Charlotte, North Carolina, who says, do you guys think Zach can make all NBA next season and eventually become a superstar in the NBA?
Ooh.
Also, if Acme took over for Krause in 2003, how many championships do you think the Bulls could have won?
A minimum 8, my friend.
I think we're talking a minimum 8, Pete. Thanks for checking in, Christian. Okay. The revisionist history of, like, hey, what if AK and in 2003, Everson Lee was like selling Nikes, okay?
Right, exactly. You're right.
Arturas was only 11 years removed from being a player snapping a picture of Michael Jordan in Barcelona.
Like, hello.
weird timelines that I don't necessarily want to get into. Yes, it's another way of saying, gee, AK and Everson Lee were pretty happy with what they're doing, but wondering, and again, you have to give Paxson and Gar their certain stripes that were earned, especially John, who like AK and Eversley are doing now. When he took over, flipped the Bulls roster entirely.
I mean,
other than Chandler and Curry, he swapped everybody out, and then they went to the playoffs for the first time since the dynasty ended. Like,
yeah,
Arturas is following a very similar model of what Paxson did when he took over in 2003. He's getting rid of all the crap and he's bringing in new players. So. Yeah. You know,
and Pax did a lot of his through the draft, which is the only main difference of what this is. He did a ton of it through the draft.
Right. And in his first big executive role in Denver, Arturas did it how? Through the draft. So there are plenty of similarities there, too.
MVP.
But the other interesting text, part of Christian's text that I want to talk about, Dave, Zach LaVine, all NBA next season?
Why you want to do this to me? I'm going to say, you know, everything wants me to say yes so bad. And I just, my brain is like, don't say it. I can't say it, guys. I can't say all NBA next year because I want him to prove it to me. But here's the thing. At the same time, Matt, with the stats he put up, with what he did last year, if he's on a winning team, he's all NBA. And I think that's the key thing about this. Like, if they win, if this is a 4 or 5 seed, he's all NBA, period. That's what it is. So winning matters when it comes to that. I don't think he's going to have the same kind of stats because the ball, I'm just thinking of ball movement, you know, him playing more defense and, you know, getting other people involved because Zach has said a million times he just really wants to win. And he has shown that. You watch him do it at Team USA. He's doing whatever's necessary to win.
Right.
So you might see a slight go down, you know what I'm saying, a tick down for, you know, his numbers. But you'll see the wins go up. You'll see, you know, his basketball IQ go up. You know, you'll see his defense go up. You know, you'll see those kind of things, you know, elevate, which is going to, you know, lead to more and more winning. So because of that, it's a possibility. I'm not saying a definite no on this because it's definitely a possibility he can be all NBA. But I'm still going to stick with no because I want to see it first. Like, I just really, really, really want to see it first. But it's possible. It's not crazy to think that he would make at least third team. NBA. It's not crazy to think that.
And I mean, when you zoom out and think about, okay, free agency, what just happened, who switched teams, who switched conferences, and then the guards, right? Because if you're talking about making all NBA, you're talking about Zach LaVine doing it as a guard. That's the way that they break it down by position. Correct. So, okay, you still have Harden and Kyrie in Brooklyn. You got Trae Young in Atlanta. Beal stayed in Washington. And then, like, you just start to do the math of, like, okay, who are the all NBA guys in the East? And then also over in the West, because this ain't all star. This is all NBA. So, when you, like, when you try and figure out, can Zach Levine be an all star again? And you do that Eastern Conference math, you think, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
When you add all NBA, who, like, all man. And yes, there's three teams. So maybe some of the perennial guys, like maybe Chris Paul does not have a ridiculously efficient season as he did with Phoenix last year. You know, maybe Westbrook is not like ridiculous stat padding because he's playing with LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like, you know, you can maybe make the argument that some people who are those perennial all NBA guys are now not in positions that make them as likely to have that kind of all NBA resume. But I think, you know, you hit it head on. If Zach does what he does last season statistically and the Bulls are an above 500 team and they go to the playoffs, absolutely, that's a guy getting all NBA votes.
No question.
And on top of that, we heard Kevin Durant and his USA teammate Wednesday night praising him for his defensive effort in their semifinal game. Zach LaVine, if he brings it on the defensive end this season, takes another step after the improvements we saw from his defensive effort and awareness on the defensive end last season, then you're talking about more people saying, hey, Zach LaVine's not just a scorer. He's not just a shooter. He's a respectable player on both ends, and he's a damn good player offensively. Then you're talking about him getting more votes. The one thing that I think of could this hurt Zach is if the Bulls are a more successful team because they got Zach more help, does that mean Zach's usage comes down a little bit and his stats are not as just by the numbers impressive as they were last season because he's being asked to do less because, hey, I've got DeMar DeRozan to pass the ball to you. Hey, I've got, you know, I've got Vooch to throw the ball into down low to get us a quick bucket. In Lonzo that scenario, you know, but if Zach goes from 27 points a game down to like 24, 25, and he still has five boards, five assists a game, and the Bulls get close to 50 wins, he's certainly going to be in the conversation.
You can't make the argument that he's not, honestly. You can't make the argument that he's not. If you those are the numbers you're putting up, I mean, put together what, another 50, what, 50, 40, 80 season again?
Yeah. And with like, and he was like 3 percentage points from 50, 40, 90 at the free throw.
Right. Exactly. Right. Come on, man. Like, you putting that together with winning, you have no choice but to look at that. Like, you have to say, man, you know, maybe we should start looking at these guys, you know, and give him some votes and things. All eyes are about to be on the Bulls. All right. Mm-hmm. People about to be looking right at us. So, and we are ready, getting ready for our close up, baby. So, you know, get your beard shaved, you know, get your hair did, do what you got to do. Because we eyes about to be on us, okay?
Maybe get a facial.
Yeah, a little of that, you know, a little stone massage, whatever you want to do. Get it right. Get your nails done, whatever you want to do. Pedicures, hook it up.
Hire a decorator to come in here quick, because damn.
Because damn, right? Men in Black. I love it.
the other element to that Zach All-NBA conversation that we can't just gloss over. If Zach does make All-NBA in the final year of his contract, guess what? That max extension that he's going to be up for where the Bulls say, hey, we brought you talent to play with. Now it's your turn for a payday. And Jerry, you better be signing them checks. We're going to be a luxury tax team now because we're trying to win. Zach LaVine's bump in that max contract by making All-NBA. That is a different kind of supermax contract that the Bulls would then be giving Zach LaVine if he makes all NBA. And you know what?
Yeah.
As we said before about DeRozan and about Lonzo, not my money. I don't care. I love Zach LaVine. Pay the man.
Pay that man. Pay
him like you want. Right now, as a Cubs fan, just like a week removed from Chris Bryant gone, Anthony Rizzo gone, Javier Baez gone. And the Ricketts are like, we can't afford to pay these guys as they've bought up half the real estate on the north side of Chicago.
Oh,
man, fuck that. Pardon my language, but fuck that. No, we're finally seeing a Bulls ownership group that is opening its pocketbooks to pay expensive executives, to pay an expensive head coach, to pay expensive talent to go out there and play on the court. So you know what? When it comes time for Zach LaVine to get that paycheck, you pay that man. You pay that man. I know that they didn't want to do it with Jimmy, and we don't have to go over that revisionist history. This time around, you got yourself a talent like Zach in his prime. Pay him. Pay him.
I love watching Matt rant. It's always must see TV. It's the best. Oh, sorry about your Cubs, man. I am. Sorry about it.
It's just hard, Ed.
I'm sorry, man.
It's okay. As soon as the Cubs just dragged me down in the dirt with that we're selling everybody thing, Arturas and Everson were like, it's okay.
It's okay.
We're here for you.
We're going to elevate you.
We're going to lift you up. We're going to lift you up.
Shh, my sweet baby Matt. It's okay. We got you, man. They held you close, and they left you strong. Thank you, guys. This is awesome.
The things our teams do to us, man.
Man, we living down this stuff. We really do. Your weeks are depending on how the Bulls or the Bears or the Cubs or the Sox play or the Hawks. Like, your weeks are depending on that, man. Like, man, you could have a great week because they won three in a row. You could have a great week. Like, yeah, I feel good and all that. Then they lose and you go home and you're yelling at your kids and you don't know why.
I'm yelling at my – I don't have kids. I live alone. I was yelling at my toaster the other day.
Why is it burnt?
You burnt my bread.
Why? Why did you burn it?
You know why? It's because I saw Anthony Rizzo hit a home run in a Yankees jersey. That's why. Oh. My God.
And Baez.
Oh, God.
And Bryant.
Baez did his swim move coming into home plate in that Mets game yesterday.
I saw it. I saw it, man. I saw it. I know, man.
Big David hurts.
I know, man. But you know
what? It's okay. It's okay. Because the Bulls are back, baby.
Boom, baby.
Bulls are back.
Let's go.
Thank you to everybody who's been throwing us text messages since free agency began. Mm-hmm. Keep them coming. And like we said, we're going to get to as many voicemails as we can on the next episode. We got a lot of those waiting for us in our inbox. If you want to be a part of the show, part of the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. 331-979-1369 is that number. And of course, you can always hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_Peck. He is Bal, BAWL Sports, and we are at Locked On Bulls. For my co-host, Big Dave, I am Matt. Thanks for listening. As always, see red, be good. We'll talk to you soon.
Give yourselves a round of applause.